Well, what a gut punch here tonight in South Philadelphia. The Phillies lose their third in a row, but what a pitching matchup between Christopher Sanchez and Gavin Williams. On paper, it looked like it was going to be pretty good. In person, it was even more impressive. Unfortunately, the Phillies on the wrong side of it. One swing of the bat, the difference in the ninth inning, and the Phillies lose it tonight 1-0. Hi, everyone. Welcome back into Phillies Playback. Hi, Scott Fransky.
Hi, everyone.
Larry Anderson.
Hi, Murph.
Hi, everybody.
Everybody
out there. Still here.
We are still here. Well,
we're not all still here.
Everyone trying to make a night out of it. It only took 2 hours and 5 minutes to play.
Yeah.
So they kind of want to hang around for a little bit.
Yeah. It was weird. When the game ended, there was no, like, music. It's just dead silent
in
here.
Well, that's kind of how we felt. That was kind of the mood they were trying to set, you know? Like, we're not going to play
music.
Isn't
there normally some sort of ambient music, something?
Yeah, there is, generally.
Even in a loss, like, oh, shucks.
The folks in Fanavision said, that's it, we're out. Let's beat the traffic. Maybe they just wanted to get in their car so they could hear the Friday Night Roundtable.
Perhaps. It's slightly better than traffic.
Slightly better than traffic. Yep. Tough one tonight. And we continue our string of tough ones here on Friday night at Citizens Bank Park. Would you believe, and I know you would because you've been here for all of them, 0-4 so far on Friday nights here at Citizens Bank Park. 3-5 overall, so 3-1 on the road on Fridays, 0-4, which means, Larry and Scott, that 0-4 in the City Connect uniforms.
I was just going to say, they probably won't wear those anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, they might not. They might think of it. Ruben Amaro Jr. is joining us here. Welcome from the TV side. I was just pointing out that the Phils are 0-4 in their City Connect uniforms this year.
Well, maybe they should think about changing them up a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe changing up. Go to the white pants.
Do something.
I like white pants with that uniform. All white.
But they get dirtier.
It's not a bad idea.
I like the all white with the blue and gold piping.
All right. But they get dirty.
Oh.
They don't really get dirtier than the other ones. They just show more dirtier.
They show more dirtier?
Show more dirtier. That's a good point. Yeah. They don't technically get dirtier.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But you can show more.
But you can wear your black pants for like 3 weeks without
really
putting them in the laundry.
Not that many guys got dirty tonight.
No.
It's not really an option. You can't just switch your pants color, can you? I mean.
Why not?
Well, don't you have to like apply to the
league?
Change
the design.
They wear whatever they want now. It's like, throw it on.
Well,
let's go get it.
Well, that's true for, like, shoes and stuff.
Well, maybe they could just wear, like, really high socks that are of a different color.
They'd have to
all
be
the way up to their thighs
sock.
Or something.
Yeah, because most of the pants go down to the, you know, bottom of the thigh.
Right. So there you go.
Well,
they got to do something.
Way down there.
Don't get me wrong. I'd be fine if they just show up next time on a Friday with their pinstripes. I'd be totally fine with that.
Can you imagine if they did
that? That'd be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Neither is the white pants.
No.
Well, it's just a thought. You know, I'm a kind of a horse. So
next time it'll be after Labor Day, so perhaps.
You can't wear your white pants after Labor Day, though. You know?
No, you can't wear them before, right? You can wear them after Labor
Day. Oh, no, you can't wear them after Labor Day.
I meant Memorial Day.
Right.
Memorial Day is coming up, so now we can go to the
We can go to the white pants.
Yeah.
Or if you have legs like mine, you just wear shorts and it looks like white pants.
Right.
That's the way it works.
Or if you dress like Harry, you can wear them year-round.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got white shoes.
He did have
those. Of course.
He had all that.
And the white belt.
So was it the most Delco name ever that hit the home run? Kyle Manzardo. He hit the
I think Lizardo is right there,
well,
too.
Well, that's a good point. We got Lizardo and Manzardo. But, tough one tonight.
Yeah, really tough. I mean, Manzardo had one thing in mind. I'm going to look at her fastball. He got a little sinker, stayed out over the plate a little bit, and he banged it. Unfortunate.
We hit some balls good. Looked like, you know, barreled up. It just, when it's cool, it just doesn't carry here. But that's why I thought, man, when he hit it, I know he hit it good, but like, I think it's not going to carry. But it certainly did.
And a little bit of a breeze, it seemed like, towards left field. So gave it a little bit better shot. But, hey, man, I guess got to swing the bats better. I mean, I know that Williams really pitched well.
He was good.
Boy, did they swing in a lot of pitches off the plate today.
Yeah.
Williams pitched well, but you can't just keep saying the guy pitched well, the guy pitched well. The guy does pitch well, and the guys they're going to see this weekend, next week, I mean, There's a lot of really good pitchers that are going to
pitch well.
Yeah. There's a lot of well pitchers.
There's a lot of first place pitchers, and that's why they're in first place. Yeah. That's why they're at the top in playoff position. So they're, I mean, they're going to have to find a way to hit good pitching.
What was it? 12 last four games. 12 men in scoring position.
I think he said eight. They were one for eight with runners in scoring position. I think that's what you said.
But they only got like a few runners in scoring.
That's
position.
What I'm saying. In the last four games, 12 runners. I think it's 12 runners in scoring position.
I don't think that's very good.
I mean, 12 at bats with runners in scoring.
It doesn't
position.
Give you a very good chance. For that's seven, for sure. To score a lot of runs. Eight, I mean, short of the home run, and
carry
that's,
the one.
I was told there'd be
two
no
bats.
So you know,
three for twelve. Yeah.
Now that's not great.
That's not getting it done.
No, that's not great. And it just not overshadows, but it takes a little bit away from what we. I mean, here's the question I'd like to ask the three of you. I mean, what are we watching with Christopher Sanchez?
Oh,
I mean,
this is it's insane.
It's pretty darn awesome,
it's
right?
It's Doc Halliday-esque. I know that, and obviously Cliff Lee-esque. But he's almost like a robot right now. I mean, it's amazing. He's AI.
Yeah. I mean, as a hitter, I was saying like his changeup is so good. You could almost tell the guys it's coming, and it's still when he throws it where he does with that arm action. It's still tough to hit. It's got to be tough to hit, even because they got it. I mean, everybody he faces knows they're going to get a changeup or two every at bat.
Right.
Probably two, maybe more.
That's what's so impressive about it. The thing that's really impressed me the most lately is that not only is the changeup working, but his slider's really working well.
Yeah.
And that was a pitch that it was, you know, just a show me pitch, you know. Up until this year, I mean, it was just some. He just flip in there just to show a pitch, you know, get him off this changeup. Now it's a pitch that's been effective for him. He's getting swings and misses on that as well. So,
plus, I think too, his fastball command has been in and out, and in and out, and in and out.
Yep.
You talked about the development of that fastball command. You know, from a guy who threw hard but didn't always know where it was going to a guy who didn't throw all that hard, comparatively speaking. But was able to spot some pitches, and now he gets the velocity back over the last couple of years. 37 2/3 scoreless consecutive innings.
Extraordinary.
It really is. And, put aside the loss tonight, it's kind of, if you're a baseball fan and if you're a Phillies fan, and we're lucky enough to have the best seats in the house, to be watching what we're watching right now, it's really
remarkable. I'm trying to remember what it was like to call and be in that moment when Cliff was doing it. I feel like maybe we're not looking at Sanchez as dominant as those guys were, as Halliday and Lee.
I agree with that.
I think they came in with certain reputations that Sanchez didn't have. And Sanchez has become those guys before our very eyes, but I don't know that we... This is probably the wrong word. I'm just not sure we revere him the way we should.
Yeah.
The way we did Halliday and Lee in their day. He's every bit as good as those guys were at their height.
You look at that, say Halliday and Lee, and I mean, you can absolutely make the case of Wheeler and Sanchez, or Sanchez and Wheeler, however you want to put it. But those two frontline starters, these two guys, Wheeler and Lee, doing just pretty much as much as
those guys,
Halliday and Lee. I mean, it's just. But you're right. I don't think
the thing about Doc that obviously there's no hitter stuff, the perfect gamer in there, but there was this his face, like his persona, his demeanor on the mound was. Scoreless game into the sixth, Phillies scratch out a run, and you knew it was game over.
Yeah.
Right? You knew he was going to turn into this animal that was just going to finish the game and blow everybody away once he had the lead and that kind of thing. I feel like maybe we should consider that we're watching
that
the
way.
Same thing.
Yeah. We sure are. And it's one of the most extraordinary developments I've ever seen in a I have ever seen. Myself with my eyes, from where he started to where he is. And I've said this a million times, and I've, you know, it's sound like a broken record, but it's astonishing to see what he's done with his body and how consistent he's become from the time he stepped foot in the major leagues to the time when to the very last pitch that he made in today's game.
Yeah, and so if you're listening, think about that, because I think that's amazing for you to say that, Ruben. A guy who's been around for a minute, you know, within this franchise, around baseball, to say that about Christopher Sanchez, of all the players that you've seen develop over the years, he's the guy. He's the one that's like
never
blows
seen
my mind.
Like it.
It's incredible. That's an incredible statement.
I really have never seen anything like it. Now, I never saw like Doc Halliday really struggle and have to go down to the A ball and get with Mel Quinn and, you know, redo himself and then come back. But this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some people like Curt Schilling actually had a kind of a little bit of a development like this. He became pretty darn good, but not like this guy.
I think that's remarkable. And to your point, yeah, because, you know, Doc had when he came to Philadelphia, when we started watching him every day, he already had won a Cy Young, so his reputation preceded him.
Yeah.
You know, Cliff, similar in that he had done amazing things before he got here. This is all happening on our watch, which is neat.
Now I think for certain, now that he's got this scoreless inning streak up to being the longest in Philly's modern era history, he will definitely make Jason Stark's list of National League Cy Young contenders.
Jason just turned
finally
us off. He
finally
just like click.
You know, love you, Jason.
He better make it. I think. You know.
Well, now he's doing something extraordinary.
Right.
So he can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put
how
on
about,
the list.
How
now.
About though? How about
he, in fact, has a longer scoreless inning streak than Mason Miller did.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
There you
have it. And his the strike percentage on the changeup was coming into tonight was second best in baseball on any pitch in baseball to Mizorowski. His four-seam fastball was a tick higher in terms of how many strikeouts they had gotten on the pitch. But he's right there with that. You're right. He's just adding to his legacy. And it's not a fluke either, right? Because we've been watching this now for 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's just consistent for the last 2.5 years, and the way he pitches here is insane.
The one you can see.
His ERA is now below one, right? Is it like 0.92 or some crazy number? I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but he came in with one ERA today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here and all.
So it went down.
But
yeah.
You went back, say 2.5 years ago, three years ago, four years ago, look at where his confidence has come from.
Oh, my goodness.
He goes out there. He knows he's going to win.
Right.
I mean, he's got that mindset. Every now and then you see the emotion, but he's a little bit of just business-like, and every now and then you see that emotion. But for the most part, he's just out there, knows what he's got to do, knows what he's going to do, and has full and total confidence in himself that he's going to go out there and shut that team down.
It's like the age-old question that
the chicken or the egg?
Right, that's the one.
Yeah. The Pat Gilligan, that's it.
That's it.
Is it confidence or is it success?
Yeah.
Which one comes first? I don't know. I think it's a combination of the two. Is that possible?
I think sometimes it depends on the person, right?
Yeah.
Some guys need success to gain confidence,
yeah,
and some guys are so confident that they force success, I think. But I'm not sure how it was with Christopher, but it all kind of seemed to come together.
I think it's more the confidence is tough to have without success. It's more than anything, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
You're convincing yourself that,
correct.
Well, yeah, you can.
Belief.
Which
is,
I had to do
belief,
for a long time.
Belief comes before confidence. I'm still doing it. Yeah, it is. It's a reminder. You know what I love? I love now the habit that he's gotten into when he strolls off on the seventh or the eighth inning after a scoreless, you know, outing here. He's waving to the crowd. I mean, it's not a tip of the cap. It's a full-on wave. You know,
he's
like pointing at people.
Wave.
He's like, you get a card. You get a card. You get a card. You know, it's cool.
I think he appreciates the support that he gets from the fan base. But, two, I think he appreciates being able to do what he's doing. I think he honestly enjoys what he's doing. I mean, I get a chance to, you know, mess around with him from time to time, and he's having fun, man.
Good.
He's
yeah.
having fun, and he's enjoying himself, and he should.
Yeah, he should.
Really should.
But he's always had that demeanor about him, I think. Just a joy to be around, you know. And not that I'm around him a lot, but every time I've seen him, it's a smile. It's a nod. It's, you know, he's just a genuine good person.
Yeah, it was impressive tonight. I got to ask you guys, because and you two brought it up on the radio broadcast briefly for a second, but who was behind the plate tonight, umpire?
Junior Valentine.
He was emphatic with his ABS calls. Was he not?
He was
like, you know, yelling at you. Did you guys pick up on that on TV, too?
Yeah, we did.
I mean, my God.
That was a ball.
Yeah. It was a strike, just like I said it was. You know, I mean.
See?
You gotta think, right? They've got to be dying to use that platform just one time to
I
be
think
like.
It's funny. I
so
think
do
they,
I.
I think they should show their personalities.
So
honestly, I think it's an opportunity
about
to do that.
Schwarber in the first inning. Yeah. Where he's kind of walking off, and you can see the hand kind of.
Oh, he was totally going to challenge.
He was going to challenge him anyway.
He just dragged his hand down his side of his face, like
right. He like the person in the classroom raises their hand, and then they you know, like brush their hair back.
Classic.
I raise. Oh no, I don't.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, it begs the question, and I hesitate to ask it in this crowd, but I'm going to ask it anyway. With the ABS, and now that we've seen, you know, these calls, and it's, you know, 0.2 of an inch, are you more impressed with home plate umpires or equally unimpressed as you've been for years and years and years? And I'm not looking at anyone in particular, Larry.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I am too.
I am too.
I
am right with you. And I think that they're obvious. Clearly, it makes them bear down more. Because they don't want to be embarrassed.
That's a good point. Yeah.
They want to do their jobs better, and then now they have a chance to get a little bit more exposed because they got a chance to be replayed and questioned on these things. And you got to give these guys a lot of credit. There's so many small ones.
Oh, my goodness.
0.1, 0.2 inches. I mean, come on.
Yeah. What does Stott call them? Sliver strike?
Sliver strike.
The ones that just like barely graze the outside of the box and are strikes. And
yeah. I got to believe if I was on a mound, I'd be like, the box is wrong.
You would still get thrown out of a game, arguing that I'm firing.
It has to be so emotional as a pitcher. Like, if you throw a pitch and you execute that pitch exactly where you want it to, but it's a ball and they call it a ball and you're going, that's not a ball.
You know that just missed, but then you're pissed at the umpire, I mean the hitter, because he didn't swing
at it.
That's right. When you know he should have. He should have been chasing that pitch. Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm impressed, you know, because before the box, before the standard strike zone and what we're seeing now, they did look like they were missing pitches left and right. It doesn't feel that way anymore. And even when they do miss, you're like, well, you know, it was a tenth of a strike or a tenth of an inch outside. Right. You know, so it's like pretty.
Can't blame them.
Can't kill them for it. Yeah. No, it's impressive. Scott, what do you notice about both Ruben and Larry right now?
They are wearing matching Friday Night Roundtable hats.
They are good-looking hats.
Good-looking lids.
That Larry brought in the other day, courtesy of our buddy Kaz Ferrante.
Yep. But not completely matching.
You're right. Wait. Oh, that's because our names are on the back.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
that's right.
He did put our names on the back.
That's right.
They are good-looking lids.
They really are.
They're solid.
They are not for sale. Or are they? Are they for sale?
They could be for sale, folks, maybe.
But, you know, of course, the Friday Night Roundtable T-shirts are for sale. Our great friends at the Hog Island Press, if you want to get one of those with the new City Connect colors. Or you can get the old colors because we're not 0-4 in those colors. But either one, they're nice-looking T-shirts. I saw three different people. I do the show, the pregame show down on the concourse in what we like to call the fishbowl. And we saw three different people come by today and, you know, push their stomachs up against the glass, showing off their Friday Night Roundtable T-shirt.
Just their stomachs. Okay.
Yeah. But they're showing off their Friday Night Roundtable T-shirt.
It's nice. PG-13 show. This is what this is.
You never know what happens in the fifth ball.
I love the back of them.
Huh? Slightly better than traffic.
I love that.
There are people right now turning us off saying, not really. Click.
You guys aren't sitting in this crap.
So anyway, Kaz, thank you so much.
Yes.
The hats are awesome. I'll put them up on Instagram.
Nice.
So folks can see what they look like. But they are good looking hats. So, I don't know that we solved anything tonight. 0-4 City Connect.
We saw history, though, apparently.
We did. We saw history. I don't think we saw.
First time anything. In franchise history, the Phillies had lost 1-0 on a pinch hit home run in the ninth inning.
Oh, is that right?
Ever.
No. Baseball.
Ever.
Wow.
In 100,000
games yeah. that we've seen.
That's amazing.
Between us.
It's never happened before.
In Phillies franchise history.
I kind of wish it didn't happen tonight, but wow, that's pretty cool.
Well, it's sort of cool.
Manzardo.
Yeah. I saw that kid play in the Arizona Fall League. I had an opportunity to watch him do his thing. Pretty good hitter.
Yeah.
Pretty good hitter who there's a lot of question about whether he'd have enough power to play the position at first base. And he's starting to develop a little bit of that pop, obviously.
Yep, no doubt. All right, before we go, real quick, can we give a shout-out to Tig Davis? I don't think we've been together since he won the ACC Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Ben Davis's son.
And vote for him
For the Golden Spikes Award.
That's
right.
Can we do that?
Yeah, do that.
Go online. You can vote for Tig Davis to win the Golden Spikes, best college player in baseball. What a year.
He's a sophomore.
Ben told me he's a sophomore.
He's just a sophomore.
Ben told me today. Now I'm going to forget if it's never happened or if it's only happened once or twice where one player has led all of college baseball nationwide in home runs and RBIs in the same season.
First time ever?
Well, no, I don't know if it's less than – I forget what he told me either. Three times it's happened, four times, but it happened this year with Tig.
I mean, that on top of the batting average and like the it's got to be tough for somebody else to win it, right?
I mean
–
Did he hit 350?
I don't know like what his batting average
I don't know,
was.
But batting averages in that level are pretty ridiculous.
So. Yeah, there's guys that are hitting close to 400, right, or above 400.
Or above 400, yeah.
But still, I mean, it's about scoring runs, right? And if you're knocking in those.
No. Come on. RBIs, that's a ridiculous stat.
That's a great point.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
I bet you his OPS is pretty good, too, though.
Probably.
What about his WOBA?
His WOBA is.
I bet his ex-WOBA is way off the charts.
1292 OPS.
What do you think, Larry?
What about his BABIP?
WOBA.
It's BABIP. Or your BABIP? BABIP.
Oh, is it pronounced?
Way.
Oh,
I think it's BABIP.
What's his ISO?
It's WRC Plus.
Plus.
He had a great season, and it was fun to watch. We got to watch Ben. Ben, of course, proud papa, is sending us updates as the season went along.
Yeah.
And we were constantly seeing that he hit another home run and another home run.
And such a nice young man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
Ben's a total idiot, but his kids are awesome.
Yeah, his kids are a result of
his wife has done
Ben's
the
just
thank
mad
God
that,
for Meg.
Yeah.
Ben's just mad that Tig didn't work with him when he's younger.
Can you imagine the player Ben could have been if Tig had worked with him? Isn't that the truth? All right, fellas. Well, I guess I'll let you go. Thanks for joining us here on the Friday Night Roundtable.
It's been a blast, Murph.
It's always a blast. And, maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow. Maybe we won't. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll we're going to be dancing amongst the raindrops.
Yeah, regardless. It's going to be a tough one. All right, Larry, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Ruben, thank you. Scott Fransky, thank you. We'll
Murph.
Take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, I've got a little bit more to do. We'll get you the out-of-town scores. We'll hear from manager Don Mattingly as well. Tough 1-0 loss tonight here for the Phils. More on the post-game show after this.